Hey everybody, it's the Loop Mechanics Podcast. Your hosts Vialis and Skormis are here to ramble on for a while about video and tabletop games, or whatever nonsense comes into their twisted little minds. Then, if you are very lucky, they will crawl off back under the rocks from whence they came, only to return again, like clockwork, next week. Seriously, these idiots are more unavoidable than death or taxes, and much less pleasant to endure. Anyway, enjoy the show, if you can.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Skormis.
And I'm Vialis.
So, what's been going on with you this week?
Well, Expedition 5 for No Man's Sky dropped on Thursday, and I'm slowly making my way through the different phases, getting loot and having fun.
Nice.
Problem is, Monday, Guild War 2's expansion drops. So I've got, you know, a problem of too much good things.
Yeah. So as of people hearing this episode, it will have dropped.
Oh, so, yes.
Yeah, we're recording this on Sunday. So,
but looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I know the No Man's Sky expedition is fun, and I'm hoping that the Guild Wars 2 expansion is going to be awesome. So far, I've only heard good things from people who've actually played in the world.
Yeah. Did, like, the beta?
Yeah.
Yeah, I looked over their website for it, and it does look interesting. This would be the first expansion I probably... Well, I won't be buying at launch.
Well, that's because you got rid of all your MMOs.
Kind of. But, yeah... We'll get to that stuff later. But no, I just got other... Oh, the next segment, we'll talk more about what I've been doing. What I've been doing, personally, is dying. As of recording today, this is day 9 of home quarantine for COVID.
Fun.
My wife and I both caught it. Yay. We found out
that you had your shots.
All three, yes. But it doesn't prevent you from getting it.
No.
It just makes it less likely and the symptoms less difficult. And that's fine. For each of the last 9 days, my sweetie and I have basically said, you know, we've had worse flus than this. And then a few days in, the fever kicked in. And we were like... You know, we've both had worse fevers than these. We're like 100 to 102. I hit 103 for a little while. She's been a few days behind me on symptoms. But
well, I guess that proves that you're the one who got her sick.
Oh, clearly. I'm sure
need to apologize big time.
I have. Trust me, I have. Thing is, I work at a hospital. Of course I'm the one who got her sick. We are very careful about masks and whatnot out in public. And we only go out in public when we absolutely have to. But I have to spend 8 hours a day at a, you know, hospital facility. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially since it's been... bouncing through my office for weeks. So,
yeah.
It's been fun. My fever is finally mostly gone. I'll be going back to work Monday night. So, yay. Anyway, enough of that crap. Shall we move on?
Sure.
Cool.
Yet another topic about video games. How original.
So, Vialis, I've been kind of homebound for a while. And between sleeping and watching television, all I've had really to do is play video games. But playing video games isn't the easiest thing to do when you're sick, especially anything that requires a lot of skill or tactics or thought. So of course,
Minecraft,
Pokemon. I'm sitting here thinking, between Animal Crossing New Horizons, which, you know, it's a staple, play it for a few minutes every day, do my dailies, whatever. No problem. But Pokemon is like the perfect game. So I picked up the new Pokemon Legends Arceus for Switch. And, well, I had thoughts. Have you had a chance to see the game at all?
Nope, I'm not a Pokemon fan.
Ah, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I play Pokemon Go, and that's about it. And even then, it's just, couple minutes a day.
Yeah, this is Pokemon, but not Pokemon. You don't have gyms, you don't have trainers, you do have a professor, and you're trying
to... So it's a monster battler?
Kind of. It's, let me see. It has a feel like a Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, as if it had been dropped on its head as a child. It has a feel like Monster Hunter, if Monster Hunter was a pillow fight. It is a fun and engaging game. If you like, especially if you like Pokemon at all, it has fun. You're out there trying to catch wild Pokemon, but unlike in other Pokemon games, wild Pokemon can't harm you. They don't attack you. You throw a Pokemon at them and they break out or flee, or you have to throw a ball at them again, right? In this game, if you get spotted by angry Pokemon or aggressive Pokemon, they'll come whip your ass and you'll have to be rescued. You can throw already captured Pokemon at them and battle them down to where they're weak and then try to catch them, just like you would in a normal Pokemon game. But you have to sneak around sometimes, stay to high grass to not be spotted. And sometimes you run into very large, very elite, very dangerous Pokemon I ran into a level 40 something Ponyta. I think it's Ponyta. Yeah. And when it actually spotted me, it ran over and literally danced upon me until I passed out. It just went stomp, 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 stomp. And then it fades to black. Yeah, that was a poor choice. I was under half its level. I don't even have anything beyond regular Pokeballs at this moment. But it does have crafting. You can make your own Pokeballs. It's kind of... Oh, and they have mounts. It's really a fun game. It really is. And what was good about it was, especially being as sick as my wife and I have been, it's really fun for her to sit and watch. She kept bugging me about, are you going to play Pokemon again? Are you going to play that? Because she liked to just sit there and watch me play. And she would help me out by trying to spot stuff. Hey, did you see that? Did you see this? Whatever. Because I'm all blurry-eyed and whatnot, feeling like crap. And I'm missing stuff, so she's helping me point out stuff to me. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go get that. But really, interesting game. Not a lot of puzzles. Cool. Mostly kind of got a single-player JRPG feel, but with a more Pokemon-style mechanics for battles. I really enjoyed it. And I know
a lot of people
have been going, oh my God, it's so good. And yeah, it is. It is so good. Is it Elden Ring? No.
Haven't played Elden Ring either.
Well, Elden Ring is one of those From Software games that it's all about, you have to be absolutely elite to play this. If uh-huh. not, you're just going to get squashed. You're no good. If you're not a, if you're a scrub, you shouldn't play it. Okay, that's fine. Well, I'm a scrub, so I'll play Pokemon. And it, Pokemon Legends Arceus is my Elden Ring. It's fun.
Oh, cool.
And sorry, it's not a whole lot to say about that.
Don't but, need to have anything more to say about it.
I felt like there'd be more to the segment than just that.
Well,
I think I lost you. Can you repeat that? Huh. Okay, well, I'll have to figure out my internet and we'll go from there.
Can you hear me?
Ah, there you are.
I haven't done anything. I've been trying to respond.
Yeah, and all I was getting was digitized noise.
Ah.
So, anyway, you were saying?
I was just saying, I haven't played any of the Pokemon games, so I didn't have a whole lot to input on the, you know, the bit.
Oh, no, and I get that, and I appreciate that. It's just... Oh, I remember. I've only finished two games. Well, quote-unquote, finished two games since I got the Switch. And that would be, you know, of course, Animal Crossing New Horizons. And Pokemon Sword. I didn't buy Shield because why would I? It's the same game, just with a slightly different storyline. I can see myself easily beating this game eventually as well. So, yay.
Hey, if you have fun, that's what it's about, right?
And that's the point. I guess, you know, people that go on about how Elden Ring is for really real gamers. Yeah, I see games as something you can do to have fun and reduce stress. And this does both. And if you can play it while you're dying from COVID, yeah, I would call that a good game.
My take on these asshats who are like, oh, this game is for elite only. I am sorry about your small penis if you have to keep telling people that this game is for elite and you're elite. If you have to tell somebody that, you're probably not.
Yeah.
And I have sympathy for your small penis.
Time to talk about podcasting or streaming bullshit again.
So recently, a show we've talked a lot about lately came to the end of its first season, and I mm-hmm. thought we could give our thoughts on this first season with spoilers in case anyone's concerned and hasn't watched it already. Would you care
if
to
you
give
haven't
your
watched
thoughts?
It, you should fucking watch it.
Would you care
I mean,
to give your
first thought? Yeah. Basically,
well, we should tell them Legend of Vox Machina.
Vox Machina, yes.
One knows, so
it's obviously it's based off of Critical Role's first campaign. It's the Briarwood arc, and it is fairly consistent with the way the events that happened in the live play. But, I mean, they had to change certain characters. They had to, you know, change things for continuity-wise because, I mean, the meandering that goes about a live play game is amazing. So to get that, you know, condensed down into a 12-episode show
mm-hmm.
takes a lot of changes. But I'm quite happy with the changes they made. I mean, they got to show Scanlan doing his thing. And I'm glad they kept the part where he polymorphed into a Triceratops, and wreaked havoc on the general's mansion. Burned it to the ground. Knocked him off the roof, that sort of thing. I don't think they had him actually knock him off the roof, though. I don't remember. I think he fell off the roof. But in the live play, he knocked him off the roof in quite a dramatic fashion. They didn't do the whole Sun Tree with Keyleth, because Sun Tree has its own personality, and it really didn't fit the mood of the show, because in the game, or in the live play, I should say, the Sun Tree, you know, is kind of like a mellow stoner kind of, you know, surfer dude voice. And that just doesn't fit with the whole, you know, dark and brooding, you know, white stone under vampire control. So they may, in the future bring that out, but right now it wasn't appropriate.
They did have her talking to the Sun Tree, and
it just didn't answer back that you could hear.
Right, right. But speaking of that character, like I've mentioned before, I don't listen to or watch Critical Role itself. I've tried. It's not for me. But I've seen videos recently where people talked about how it's a the show, Legend of Vox Machina, was a bit of a redemption for that, the druid character, and the actress who portrays her, because that character was hated through the first campaign by a lot of people, and they took it out on the actress online. They treated her like shit. Is that true? Well,
oh yeah, it was bad. The problem is, the people they didn't understand that she's trying to play a character. They wanted everybody in the party to be these amazing, you know, heroic types, you know. I mean, you got Grog just, you know, raging his way through enemies and smashing left and right. And they've got, you know, Vex'ahlia, you know, the smart hunter, and, you know, doing all the cool shit that she was doing. And Percy, the brooding gunslinger, and, you know, Vax, you know, the dagger, dagger, dagger kind of dude. And then there's Keyleth, who's fucking up on a regular basis, and it looked, you know, for the majority of the show, she was kind of an anchor around the neck of the group. That's the way it looked. But she's building a character. And if you watch the whole campaign, there's a real payoff to it, because she goes through so much growth from when you first see her to the end of the show, from the end of the campaign, I mean. There are a lot of clutch moments in there that she was fucking awesome. I mean, there was a scene where they were in a, can't remember what they were in a ship, and they were being attacked by another pirate ship. And so she got launched into the air, as high as she could get. And then she turned into an earth elemental and became a meteor and just crashed right through the pirate ship. Sunk it in one shot. And they started calling her Keteer after that. So I understand where they're coming from, but they didn't understand the concept of the show to begin with. So I kind of, you know, I just ignored it, because, I mean, they're wanting their, they want their big heroes. Yeah, great. That's not the whole point of this show. Yes, there are characters that are heroic, and they're big, and they're bad, and everything else. And they're great from the onset. Her character wasn't optimized like Vax'ildan. So, having flaws makes for a more interesting character.
Here's what gets me. Anybody that would complain about her character screwing up and failing on a routine basis has apparently never played Dungeons and Dragons.
Hey,
who hasn't rolled a one? There have been whole adventures where my character literally could get nothing right. Nothing worked. My dice. There's a reason why we have dice jail, where you take particularly bad rolling dice and you set them aside and they put them in dice jail so that they go away and they stop cursing you.
Well, and if you want to see a player who's heavy into using her dice jail, that's Laura Bailey. She has a mountain of dice, and she every day, every time they play, she picks out the sets of dice she intends to use, and then she has her backups over here. Mm-hmm. And every time a dice doesn't work right for her, it goes in her dice jail. She has a dice tray just for a dice jail, because she is adamant that if this dice screwed me over, fuck it, it's out for the rest of the game. Sometimes she gets pissed and throws the dice, and it's like, fuck it, I don't want it back. I don't care where it went.
Jeez. Yeah, it's just, but, it's so...
Oh, good. Well, and Keyleth never... She kept screwing up all the way through. I mean, that was just who she was. Because, right. I mean, in one future episode, I can't remember, it was a diamond. It was like a 5,000 gold piece diamond or something. The bad guy got killed and fell off the cliff with it. And they wanted to get it back because, you know, that was their diamond for, you know, casting Raise Dead or Resurrection or some big ass, you know, bring you back to bring someone back to life diamond. And so she decided that she was going to go get it. And so she leaps off the cliff. And she's like, you know, we're basically gods, and jumps off the cliff. And she's falling and falling and falling. And it's thousands of feet down. And you can see the DM's getting nervous. He's like, you realize you're not going to hit the water. You're close, but you may not hit the water. So she does a little gust cantrip to try and push herself farther away. He's like, yeah, you still may not make it. She goes, okay, I'm in a wild shape. And he's like, phew. Excellent, because she's a high-level druid. She can wild shape into any kind of flying creature she wants. Nope, she turns into a goldfish and hits the rock. Splat!
Oh, God.
She dead instantly. Yeah.
But see, that's fine, though. That's D&D.
Uh-huh.
Players make dumb decisions all the time.
On the regular.
All the time. And as a dungeon master, you and I both know, there have been times we've had players who say, they're going to do this, and you're like, are you sure? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Because if you can't say nothing, but... Are you sure? Because it's not going to work out for you. And then they do it anyway. It's like, all right, well, here's what happens. And it's not unusual. Would anybody be pissed about that? Oh, I'm sorry. Girls on the internet get treated like crap.
Well, yeah, and that shouldn't happen. But unfortunately, there's a bunch of, you know, dudes out there who play the game who don't think they belong in their hobby.
Right.
Fuck them.
Misogynist pricks. And, yeah, they don't belong in the hobby.
Just well, they saying. Belong in the hobby just in a stinky little corner away from, you know, real people.
You're right. And I apologize. You're absolutely right. Let them go have their tables off by themselves with their friends, and they can exclude whoever they want to exclude because they're doing mm-hmm. everybody else a favor. They can be off in their little corner playing the game or whatever game they want to play, however they want.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of us will have fun being reasonable human beings playing a game, be it Dungeons and Dragons or any other tabletop role-playing game.
I'm sorry, we've got several ladies who game in our group, and I'd say some of the best players we have been some of the ladies in our group.
Since 1982, we've had women at our table.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, there were more women than men.
Yep.
And in only one case have I had cause to complain about one of them at the table. And that was simply because she was a really bad role player. And we tried, but she just couldn't and wouldn't. So,
yeah, well, terrible player to begin with.
But that wasn't because she was a girl. It's because she was a horrible role player, regardless of how much people tried to bring her around. But that has nothing to do with Legend of Vox Machina.
Right.
I wanted to say a little bit on it myself. Because as somebody who, as I've said before, I'm not a critter. I don't really watch Critical Role. This would have been a good week to get into that, though. I should have just turned it on and started watching it because I had the time. I was stuck in my chair. But regardless, it didn't happen. And that's fine. I think the show was good enough. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I found it very entertaining. My sweetie loves it to death. And especially how we got 3 episodes every week. We would, binge watch them every weekend. We were binge watching Book of Boba Fett, Peacemaker, and Vox Machina all at the same time, basically. I think Book of Boba Fett ended a week before the others, but that's fine. Same difference. And it just got to be good fun. Do we have any idea when season 2 is going to be out?
Probably this time next year.
You think they'll be able to knock it out that quickly?
Well, I don't know. They haven't said jack about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure as they, get some idea of when it'll come out, they'll let us know. But I'm assuming it's going to be at least a year, if not 2.
Yeah, I would think it's probably going to be closer to 2 years. But, which is kind of the problem with animation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they've got a very skilled animation studio behind them, but you have to write all the scripts. You have to get all the actors together and recordings and all that and all the pre-production, post-production, all this stuff. But it all depends on all the storyboarding, then the animators do their work. And
they got pretty much one season done in a year. Because, it was like 13, 14 months since the Kickstarter ended. And
was it only that long? I thought it was 2019.
It was like November of 2019.
So that was all of 2020 and a good portion of 2021.
I don't know. Anyhow, but, as for the story, the majority of it's already written. They just need to condense it down to a proper script.
Yeah.
And they've got really talented artists, so.
True.
I think they're probably going to be getting, they're going to be increasing the size of their studio with how successful this has been. The fact that they've got, Amazon behind them.
Yeah, perhaps.
And we'll see. They may have a third and fourth season being greenlit because of this.
Now, here's the thing, though. And I did mention spoilers. You, in our previous discussions, mentioned how you thought season 2 was going to go.
Oh, I knew how it was going to go.
Would you care to gloat a little bit and talk a bit about where we're going where it appears we're going towards season 2?
Well, it's the Chroma Conclave arc, obviously.
And that would be
Well, four ancient dragons attacking Amon, and then they have to deal with it.
Yeah. That would be that final scene where you saw four mm-hmm. dragons heading towards the city right at yep. the end of the last episode. And this ties back to the general in the first three episodes, right?
Uh-huh. General Krieg with the five dragon heads on that one design. I think it was on like a rug, or maybe it was on a mural. And that's the Chroma Conclave. Five dragons. And I'm not sure if Krieg was an ancient or not, but they've got to deal with the other four. If you remember when they were in Krieg's cave, in his lair, that there was an altar with like four or five eyes in it, and one of them looked at, I think it was Keyleth.
Yeah, I seem to recall that.
Yeah. I think that was Raishan, the green dragon.
The one I mostly remember is the troll dick.
Yeah.
Finding a troll
dick.
But
that's just an Easter egg.
Treasure. Yeah. No, and that was fine. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I definitely am.
Are we done with this shit yet?
Okay, so do you have anything else you'd like to talk about this week?
Not really.
I do have one little thing I wanted to talk about. During my self-imposed quarantine, exile, whatever you want to call it, I have gotten some packages in the mail, and one of them is a new tabletop role-playing game called Sapience. I may have mentioned it briefly in the past that I had it coming. It's kind of interesting, actually, and rather inexpensive. It's a science fiction game set in the 29th century. Mankind has gone off to the far-flung edges of the stars with not just humanity, but also upraised apes, octopi, androids, and so forth, basically that have been given sentience, and you're trying to do exploration and that sort of thing. It's a space opera, but a little different than how your common science fiction would go. Also, one thing that really caught my attention to it is the system it uses. It uses the Focus Engine, which is a D6-based system. It's a die pool-type game. Let me get ahead to the rules for that. It's laid out rather nicely. It has here basically your character creation area section, and then it goes into the rules of the game, which is nice. But you basically have like three main attributes: presence, acuity, and vigor. All right. You have to have different colored dice for each of your attributes. Green for presence, blue for acuity, red for vigor, yellow dice if you have any special abilities that grant you dice to add to your pool. And then you also have stress and fatigue, which add purple or black dice to your pool, depending on the situation. So you basically have a bowl or a bag, better to have a bag, and you add in X amount of green dice for your presence, X amount for blue for acuity, red for vigor, yellow if you have special abilities that throw them in there. And then if you have any stress or fatigue or wounds, you toss in purple or black as appropriate. Okay, you mix them up. So you don't know where all the dice are. They're all just a mixed match. When you need to do something, when you need to make a test, you have to pull out a certain amount of dice based upon what the skill is you're trying to do. Let's say you pull out it says you have a skill that gives you four dice you have to roll. And you need to roll fours or better for them to be successes. Okay? So you reach in, you grab four dice that you can't see. Set them out. Great. Are any of them blue or black or purple or black? Take them out of the ones you're going to roll. They don't count. And then you roll what's left, count up any successes you have, and then you go from there to figure out whether you met your effort level. If it's an unopposed check, you like a standard check, you need to have two dice that succeeded. That's your effort of two. If you have more than that, you can buy extra adverbs and say you did it stealthily so that nobody saw what you were doing, or you did it quickly so you did it faster than normal, or if you're trying to damage something, you did it violently and did more damage to it, stuff like that. So it's really, it seems a little weird. I'll give you that. But
a lot weird.
Yeah, but you also can buy off those damaged dice and you go through and remove the black and purple ones, depending on what you've, you know, whether the fatigue has been removed, the stress or damage, your wounds, whatever you've managed to heal, you can take those dice out, improving your odds of getting ones that you can actually roll. So, and opposed are, it's done a little differently if you're like fighting something and they have, they'll provide, the opponent determines what you need to get. So it's a little different, but I had to pick it up because I got to talking to the developer, Brian Laybourn, online a little bit on Reddit about his game. He has a Sapience RPG subreddit, and talked a little bit there, and it just kind of piqued my interest. And, you know, I like me some unique and unusual role-playing games, so I had to snag it. Plus, $30 for a hardbound role-playing game. Kind of hard to beat that. Sure, cool. It's black and white interior, but it's also, that's $30 for the game, plus the PDF, so you have a digital copy to, like, share with the group so everybody can, you know, check out the rules, make characters, that sort of thing. All in all, I'd call it a good deal.
Cool.
So, anyway, that I just felt that needed to get mentioned. Again, that's Sapience RPG. There's a link in the show notes for the over on, you know, the episode page over on squirmy.com if you want to check that out. Or you just go to DriveThruRPG and search for Sapience, because that's where it's printed from. So, anyway, guess that's it. Till next time, I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Bayless.
Generic catchphrase ending?
Well, look at that. You made it through an entire episode. Good for you. Now, here's your prize. Ads. Please drop by whatever service you heard this abomination of a podcast on, and give the show a great review. You can also come by our website squirmy.com, check out our blogs, podcasts, and other content, and leave some comments. Finally, join our Discord server. You can listen to us record Loop Mechanics live, and chat with other fans. You'll find the link on the website. Until next time, I'm the digital voiceover guy, telling you to kindly fuck off.